thrilled to see you over Shabbos, and we'll speak more, I guess, about Parshas of Vayera.
Rabbi,
we're
going to have a
close fish. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what that is, but I do remember the post-dish fish. I guess like we had it then, we'll have it now. That's good enough, right? Yeah. But we'll definitely allot time, and happily so. So whoever can be here for Shabbos, you know, it's nice to be here for Shabbos. Even, you know, when I'm not here, the program's always very nice, and it's a good way to connect with the rest of the yeshiva and the rest of the rabbeim. So I remember when I was a Talmud here, they didn't really have much going on Shabbos, to be honest. And over the years, they've really, I think, made tremendous effort, and it's really a very special part of the experience of being here. So, you know, this week I happen to be here some Shabbos, so I'm happy to see everybody. But even other ones, sometimes when there's something happening in the yeshiva for Shabbos, it's good for the yeshiva, it's good for the Talmidim. So we always encourage everybody in that respect. This week's parsha that we're going to read is Parshas Vayera. And of course, in the context of that, just one word, just connected to what we've been doing, you have the exchange between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Avraham Avinu regarding the status of stone. And really there are two issues in that. One, of course, is the bigger issue, and that is the propriety of Avraham Avinu debating with the Ribbono Shel Olam at all, and debating with him in particular, you know, when it comes to people who are ra'im v'chata'im, you know, ma'od, you know, trying to convince him maybe that he should show mercy. You know, we know the principle that kolam rachim ala achzar sofo lios achzar b'makom rachmanus. You know, it's not a concept that the world fully understands now, but you have to know where to draw the line. It's important to be bali rachmanus, and you know, Avraham Avinu obviously is the one who represents that midah in particular, being the, you know, Amud HaChesed. But it's also important to know that when people, you know, exploit other people's mercy, and it provides them a greater license to do azari things, that you also have to, that's really the story of Amalek, right? We say about Amalek, called Rachem al Achzor Sofo Shol HaMelech, right, who's, you know, basically presented himself as being a Rachman when he didn't follow Tzivui Hashem. So that's what Chazal say about him, like, don't be misled. It's not that he is more moral, but, you know, in the end of the day, it's counterproductive to the goal that he's really projecting, which is called, and that's the idea of kolam rachim al-achzor sofalios achzor b'mokam rachmanos, and that's really what happened with Shaul HaMelech, because he just, you know, exhibited achzorius where he shouldn't have, even as he was preaching, you know, excessive rachmanos. So it's a hard line, mostly where we err on the side of rachmanos, but we also have to be careful. And again, that's why, you know, Asher Karcha B'Derech, that's the idea of Amalek. So the first question really, you know, to, you know, contend with is, A, is it appropriate for anyone to debate with the Ribbono Shel Olam? B, is it appropriate to debate, you know, about this? And it's especially, you know, you would think perplexing that, you know, Avraham Avinu would be the one to debate, you know, this particular point, since he was the Avod HaChesed. But of course, at the end of the day, as far as the first question is concerned, mostly, you know, that's the answer. In other words, it's sometimes difficult to discern the difference between an inappropriate, you know, a questioning of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or a debate with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a kind of, you know, Torahi, the Lilmod Ani Tzarich, you know, situation where it's not so much a debate, even though it can get a little bit, it can sound that way, it can get a little bit passionate and even ferocious in parts. But if the motivation is really, you know, to understand or to apply internally, you know, Din Torah better, so, you know, then it takes on a completely different coloration. It's not a challenge, and it's not a championing of, you know, looser standards. On the contrary, it's an investigation, and it's a an extension, really, of commitment and devotion to the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. So the same Avraham Avinu, who, you know, in a few psukim earlier, as we know, you know, was involved also in something which on the surface externally seems problematic, right? According to Chazal, the Rosh comes to visit him, and he gives up, you know, being Makabel, Pnei Ashkina for the sake of Achnasas Orchid. So as more important as Achnasas Orchid really is, and it is, as, you know, devoted as Avraham was to it, that seems, again, like a quixotic, or curious, at least, choice. Because how many times has the Rabban Shalom come to actually visit you? And obviously, Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina is the reason that we exist. We all, like, yearn for the, you know, the glimpse or the opportunity to be Mekabel Pnei Ashkina. So, of course, again, the answer is that this is Avraham Avinu. And his, you know, decision to follow Achnasas Orchid, you know, even at the expense of Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina, isn't really that at all. It's his understanding that the best kiyum of Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina in this particular case is Achnasas Orchid. So in a way, you have two opposite expressions of the same thing, you know, I think intentionally, because it's the same idea. In other words, you have on the one hand, you know, I'll put it this way. They're basically two of the same problem. In a way, this is what highlights who Avraham Avinu really is. He's the, you know, Amor HaChesed on the one hand, but his Amor HaChesed flows from his, you know, being the discoverer of monotheism and the person, you know, who's involved in Banefesh Asher Asa B'Charon. His whole life is, you know, about bringing Elokei HaShemayim to Elokei HaAretz. Part of that is his Chesed and his Achnasas Orchid. And therefore, it's understood that for Avraham Avinu, everything is like an internal issue. It's a way of applying. It's chas v'shalom never a diminishing or a challenging of Din Torah. And that's why, basically what he's exploring in the case of Sodom is not the possibility that, you know, life at any cost, you know, trumps even chesed. I say all these two. You know, he left the Rabbanu Shalom standing there, you know, in some sense, you know, for chesed. So clearly he doesn't have to. So it's not false chesed, and it's not, you know, human life, even at the expense of the value of chesed, none of those things. It's an investigation, like where to draw the line and, you know, how to balance all of these aspects and components. And because of that, the continuing discussion, you know, also is to be understood. Chazal worked very hard. Part of it is in Rashi and our other midrashim, right, to try to figure out, you know, ways to explain, you know, the continuation of the story. First of all, so the Rabbanu Shalom's comment, which is amazing, Bashem Amar HaMechase Ani MeAvraham Asher Ani Oseh, the fact that he thinks that, you know, Avraham Avinu is has to be clued in to what's happening. Again, it's not happening to him; it's happening to stone, right? Again, obviously, his credentials in terms of Avodas Hashem, this is way before the Akedah, right? And the Akedah is just an affirmation of that Ate Dati Kirei Elokim Ata. But the Rabbanu Shalom already knows it here, therefore he's not going to do something behind Avraham Avinu's back. That already tells you who he is. And then, when you continue to look at the conversation, so, you know, it goes from Ulai Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim B'toch HaYir Af Tisbeh V'lo Tisa L'Makom L'man Chamishim HaTzadikim Asher B'Kirba. Right, Chalila lecha be'asos kadavar zel hamis tzadikim rasha v'ya katzadik karasha chalilach hashofet kalaretz lo yasa mishpat. Again, two chalilas in the same. So, what out of context and, you know, without understanding who Avraham Avinu is, you know, again, you know, the people who push pshat, you know, but crude pshat sometimes. If you take it out of context, it really is a problem, and, you know, this is not the way to speak to the Rabbanu Shalom. But in context, we totally understand what it is, and it's a kiyum in his devotion and his understanding, and it's an expression of Lilmud Ani Tzorach, etc. And for that reason, it's also interesting that the continuation of the conversation reflects that. V'yomar Hashem imemtza b'stom chamishim tzadikim b'toch ha'ir nasasi mekol ha'makom, you know, ba'avuram. Then v'yan Avram v'yomar, you know, hinei ho na'alti l'daber la Adonai Lochi Nafar Ba'efer. This is the acknowledgement that, you know, don't interpret this as presumptuousness. Ulai Yachsur Chamishim Tzadikim Chamisha. So basically what the Medrash does is try to explain that Avraham Avinu was like invoking, you know, halachic, you know, categories in his discussion with the Rebbe. He wasn't just saying, oh, maybe a little less, maybe a little less, maybe a few people less, you know, the same thing. Each one was an independent argument which was based on halachos, or based on halachic categories, spiritual categories, basically, that, you know, reflected his devotion. All this to highlight that this is an internal discussion and not a challenge, you know, from the outside, and that's a subtle but critical point. One of the things that's really interesting, so that's the bigger picture. One of the things that's particularly interesting, though, is the change in formulation. Some of the Farshim note this, from Avraham Avinu's initial request, when he talks about the Chamishim Tzadikim B'tocha Ir, he says, "Af tispeh v'lo tisal l'makom l'man Chamishim HaTzadikim Asher B'kirba." And the Rabbeinu Shalom's answer, "Im emtza b'stom Chamishim Tzadikim B'tocha Ir v'nasasi l'chol l'makom ba'avuram." So what's the difference between l'ma'anam and ba'avuram? So I once saw a number of Farshim say that. I know Shamsher Paul Hirsch certainly says it. I saw it the other day by coincidence. But I've seen others say it as well. That the difference between Lama'anam and Bavuram, you know, which is very compelling, is that Lama'anam is Rabbeinu Shalom being asked to save the city, you know, for the 50. Either, you know, for them so that they shouldn't destroy or they shouldn't lose their homes, or in the schus of the 50, right? Bavuram, you know, is not just a an interchangeable, you know, word, but Bavuram means based on, you know, their presence. And then basically the exchange is as follows. The first suggestion, the suggestion that Avraham Avinu makes is that either, you know, directly or the schus and the tzaddikim should constitute an exception, or should constitute a basis for this Rachmanus. What the Rebbeinu Shalom says is, I'll go one better than you. If there are 50 tzaddikim in the city, then by virtue of that, I won't destroy the city because of the city, not because of the tzaddikim. So what's the idea? So it's exactly the idea, or the flip side of the idea that we've been exploring, you know, this month. And that is that, you know, the presence of great men in the city, right, is something which you hope, right, is going to transform, like, the tone and the, you know, the spiritual climate and environment. That's how we've explained Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol v'chol sha'racha. And that's how we've explained, you know, the idea of Egla Rufa, right, Adeno lo shafchus adam hazeh. That's how we've explained why it's so important to build, you know, institutions of Jewish life and communities. Of course, for the service aspect and the, you know, access to it and the efficiency, so that people will be encouraged to use them. All that is certainly true. But here and there we find, you know, hints or more. That's more than that, like our comment about the Rambam's, you know, use of kopelef pelef kolir v'ir, you know, talking about setting up yeshivot in cities, nochas Talmud Torah, and so on. And of course, that's the idea that we've been explaining, that, you know, the presence of people who embody certain values changes the climate. And I think, you know, that's the pshat, again, in l'ma'anam, as opposed to, you know, ba'avuram, as well. What we're saying is, not that the rest of the city is incorrigible, you know, but what can you do? It's going to affect these 50 people, or their schuyos, you know, and therefore, you know, that's a justification. What we're really saying is two things. The Sfarnu says it in one way. The Sfarnu says if there are 50 tzaddikim in the city, there's still hope for a turnaround, you know, in the context of tshuva. It's not one of those situations like, you know, Ein Maspikim Beyond Olasos tshuva. There are 50 tzaddikim there. There's something to work with. But the way Hirsch says it, and I think I've seen other people say it also this way, is even more sharply than that. But the same idea. And that is that a city like Sodom, which outlawed Chesed, right, and which, you know, according to, you know, Chazal worked on Yikov Adin Sahar. Normally, Yikov Adin Sahar is a great thing, right? It's the midah, as we'll get to on Davav, of Moshe Rabbeinu. But, you know, when you have only Mishpat and no Tzedek, or no Lefnim Meshuras Adin, then Mishpat can turn Achzari as well. And that's the essentially the story with the Malachim and Noach and everything that's going on. But the idea is Bavuram. If there are still 50 tzaddikim in this city, and they're not in jail, and they still have the ability, you know, to be discernible and to speak out and to protest or you know, to try, you know, for people to identify who they are, then things are not yet reached, you know, in the stage of no return that would justify their destruction. So it isn't just Lamanam, it's really Bavuram. Their presence in the city, you know, in other words, it's the impact that tzaddikim have on the city, but it's also the way that a city perceives, and in some cases, if, you know, we're talking about an evil city, but still tolerates, you know, the presence of some goodness, you know, which is still a basis, you know, for hope. So, you know, of course it works in both directions. And, you know, our charge, you know, in terms of, you know, what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, and especially at this time of our life, is really to, right, to develop ourselves in such a way, to develop this sense of achrayas, you know, that wherever we end up and that whatever we do, whether it's in formal leadership positions or, you know, just as members of any particular kehila, you know, part of the kehila of Klal Yisrael, that, you know, we're always part of the solution, you know, that, you know, we're able to embody the values that inspire people and that raise the level, you know, broadly speaking. And even when we're in, you know, not such good situation, sometimes people, you know, have to be involved in things that are unpleasant and in environments that are unpleasant. But part of being an Oved Hashem, you know, means to be involved in that achrayas too. You can't always only be in an idyllic, you know, framework. Therefore, it's important to know, you know, what to expect, not to compromise your values, but to know how to cope with it and how to be, you know, fortified and on the contrary, how to bring, you know, idealism to those kind of environments too. And while, you know, the more obvious, you know, Shoftim Shotrim part, and that role of inspiration is self-evident, the idea being, you know, the Chamishim ear sometimes in a context, I'm not suggesting that you should go move to Sodom, you shouldn't. And at the end of the day, there weren't 50, and, you know, Noah and, you know, Lot is who shaved the stone. You know, part of the story of Lot is always true. We already know that he's living in stone, but the point is, that's a choice that he made, you know, which reflects very negatively on who he is. But when you find yourself sometimes in whether it's in work-related or family situations that are, or just, you know, world situations, you know, which are not ideal, even then, there's so much, you know, to so much Elohim Elohim, I guess, to reflect in that circumstance. So even if it's not focused on Lemanam, sometimes it will be, even more importantly, an issue of Bavuram. So this too, I think, is part of the, you know, internal Talmud Torah conversation between Avraham Avinu and the Rabbon Shlomo, right? Even in the subtle, you know, change in the language is basically, you know, Avraham Avinu trying one tack and the Rabbon Shlomo saying, you know, good gezacht, but it's even more than you think, you know, except we don't have the numbers, but it would even be at that different basis. And then moving from there to explore internally, you know, from a halachic, you know, a Jewish value point of view, how best, you know, to contend with a bad situation and tragic situation. So that's really what, you know, what we do. Even when we're studying Sosas and Asivases and Rambam and Ravids, we're really trying to understand what those lines are and how to balance, you know, all of these different tensions. So I just want to close by thanking, you know, Robbie for arranging and Jonah for the, you know, interesting game and, you know, making me a book. I definitely didn't acquit myself very well, but I enjoyed, you know, that momentary, you know, that second in the sun. No, I'm joking. And I do think it's very important, you know, that we all get to know each other. Again, I've been a little bit in a little bit of crazy time pressure, but we, you know, we started yesterday and we'll continue on Thursday, you know, to proceed with the meetings with everybody who's new. So we really want to get to know everybody, and it's important that everybody, you know, get to know, you know, each other as well. just as being exposed to the you know, Elohim, Elohims, you know, make a difference. It's, you know, the Shachin Tov and the Chaver, Selecha, Rav, you know, Knelecha Chaver. All of these are part of it too. It's all part of, you know, developing a network of friends, which is also, you know, the kind of projects the kind of values that are important to life, and help one helps the other reinforce these going forward. So.